Your Bible's to Luke chapter 2. Where else would we be today as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ? That old, old story here, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. I want you to follow along with me. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Look, if you will, at John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, a verse so familiar to us as believers, and actually many of the unsaved familiar with this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, bless this time we're going to spend now looking at your word and thinking and dealing with the birth of Christ. We come to the Christmas celebration every year, and yet, Lord, it never gets old to us to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We thank you for how you've recorded the events of that evening, that night. You've given to us that we would know what transpired. And we would be able to see the miracle and the miracles that took place that night. As we look to this account today and think about that time when Jesus left heaven and came to take on the body of a man, might our hearts be stirred and touched. And we especially pray if there's someone here who's never received that gift of salvation, that today would be that day when they accept what God has offered to them. Use me today. I just want to be a tool and a vessel in your hands, guide and direct in all that's said and done, that your will would be accomplished in every heart and every life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest gift ever given. Not a new title, but appropriate. The greatest gift ever given. This morning we find ourselves only a couple of days away from the celebration of Christmas. On Tuesday evening, people all around the world will celebrate the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke 2, we find what is often referred to as the Christmas story. There, we find that written record of the events surrounding the miraculous events of that night. We're told of the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. We're told how when they got there, there was no room for them in the inn. We're told that they found shelter in a stable. And there, Mary gave birth to the Christ child. Luke goes on to tell of the announcement to the shepherds and their visit to the Savior that same night. It's the old, old story that never really gets old. It is the reason for our celebration of Christmas. As I said, the Christmas celebration is one we find observed all around the world. people of various countries and cultures will join in that celebration of the birth of Christ. And they'll do so, amazingly, in various ways, with a variety of customs and traditions. Interestingly, there is one activity or practice associated with the celebration of Christmas that's found to be common to almost all of these, and that's the practice of giving gifts. Seems like incorporated in some way into almost every entity's observance of Christmas is the giving of gifts. Now, is that just a coincidence? I believe not. I believe the universal custom of giving of gifts is done in recognition and in remembrance of that night. That night when God gave the world the greatest gift that has ever been given. John speaks about that gift in John 3:16, and we've read that verse. God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning I want to spend a little while speaking on this subject of the greatest gift ever given. I want to talk first of all about the provider of this gift. The provider of this gift. John tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave. We have revealed to us who is the provider of the greatest gift that's ever been given. And you know, think about this. Every gift that's given must have a provider. When a gift is given, it first must have be initiated. It has to be designed. It has to be planned by someone, somewhere, sometime. In other words, gifts don't just happen. There has to be a desire to give. In order for a gift to be given, someone has to have a desire to provide a gift. One entity must have in his or her heart a yearning to give a gift to another. Then there must be not just a desire, but a decision. I want to give, and I'm going to give. Someone must decide that they're going to give, and there must be a decision of, well, what am I going to give? That can be a real dilemma, and of course, if you've been Christmas shopping, you know all about that. What am I going to give? There must be a desire. There has to be a decision. And then there has to be a delivery of the gift. See, it's not enough to desire to give a gift. It's not enough to decide on a gift. There must actually be a procuring and a giving of that gift to the one it's intended for. Now, I'm going to pick on my wife a little bit. My wife in the past has been known for buying Christmas presents early and hiding them. And forgetting where she hid them. We have had occasions where a few years later she has come across, oh yeah, I bought that for Sarah. Yeah. Now, the intent was there, the decision was made and to give and you know, a desire to give. It was all there, but it never got delivered. That don't work. Now, the provider of the gifts, as we've seen, is God. He is the provider of the gifts of Christmas. The gift that we've received from Him is a result of His desire, His decision to give. See, what God gave is not in response to what we give. What God gave is not in so that He can get gifts back from us. His gift was decided on. He made the decision. He planned it. He designed it. And then He delivered the gift. He gave His Son. And that's what happened in Bethlehem that night. He sent His only begotten Son to come and take on the body of a man to be our Savior. It all started with God. He is the provider. And then notice, number two, the motivation of this gift. John tells us God is the giver, but why did God give us a gift? He says, for God so loved the world that He gave. See, the sole motivation of God sending Jesus to be our Savior was His love for every one of us. Think about this. We're in the gift-giving and receiving season. You know, it's a part of our Christmas culture. But the fact is, many gifts are given with ulterior motives. Sometimes gifts are given so we can earn favor with people, impress them. Sometimes gifts are given to influence people, to kind of bribe them or coerce them. Businesses often do that. Sometimes we get gifts so that we can get gifts in return. Well, if I don't buy for so-and-so, they're not going to buy for me. And then sometimes, this is sad, but we give gifts just to keep up a good image. We don't want to look cold or cheap, so we... But you see, when we talk about God's gift, we find that there was only one motive for God giving this gift to us, and that was to demonstrate His love for us. How often have I said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving? And God gave. John tells us about it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. He says, herein is love. He's talking about God's love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, it's not because of anything we've done that God gave. It's not based upon our good or bad deeds. By the way, none of us are righteous in His eyes. It's not because of who or what we are. God didn't give because of our talents or our looks or our intelligence or our social status. No, no, no. It was all because He loves us. And by the way, when God gave His Son, He wasn't trying to buy our love. God's not trying to get us to love Him by giving this gift. You see, the truth is, God gave this gift knowing that men were sinners who do not care about Him and have no time for Him. For God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, regardless of whether a person will ever love God or not, God gave His Son for that person. It wasn't to buy love. One man said, great love found its expression in a great gift. You know, we're all sinners. We're all going our own way. We have no time for God, no interest in Him. Yet, because of His love, He gave His Son to die in our place and provide a way of salvation. That was His gift to us, and that's the only reason any of us can be saved. Because God loved us enough to make a way. But then I want you to notice not just the provider of the gift or the motivation of the gift, the purpose of this gift. John tells us in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should never perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son, Jesus came to live that He might die so we could live. In other words, He left heaven and He took on the body of a man to live a sinless life and go to that cross of Calvary and pay the penalty for our sin so that we would have the opportunity to have eternal life. God's purpose wasn't just to have Jesus born and live as a human being and provide a good example for us as some religions teach. Oh no. His purpose was not only to demonstrate His love, although that was certainly the main part, but God's purpose in providing this gift was to make a way of salvation for mankind. That's why God did what He did. He sent Jesus to be a substitute. He sent Jesus to take our punishment and our sin debt and pay it on the cross of Calvary because we have nothing to pay. He sent Jesus to pay that penalty that we owe as sinners, for the wages of sin is death. And as I said, we have nothing to pay, but God sent the price of His own precious Son to pay in our stead. He took our place. He came to reconcile us to God. We are enemies at enmity, the Bible says, with God when we're not saved and in our natural state. And the Bible says that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay our sin debt so that there was a way we can be put back in fellowship, reconciled to God. See, for the unsaved person, there's a wall of sin between them and God. They cannot have fellowship. The sin has separated them. But Jesus said He would make a way. And by the way, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. What He's saying is He is the way, the opening, the opportunity for a person to have fellowship with God again and be in fellowship with God. But He's the only way. Jesus came to live sinlessly. He came to die vicariously, and that means as our substitute. And He came to be resurrected victoriously, so that everyone who will believe on Him, the Bible says, can have eternal life. But then I want you to notice this, the delegation of this gift. It was delegated. You know, when you have gifts under the Christmas tree, it's very difficult when there are no tags put on the gifts. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had a mistaken tag? That can be embarrassing. Huh? You see, gifts need to be designated. You need to know who the gift's for. If I walk up to a Christmas tree and there's a big gift underneath it, I don't automatically assume it's mine. Now, some people might, but I don't do that. But if I walk up and it's got my name on it, get out of my way, buddy, I'm opening it up. It's designated to me. Well, God designated His gift. He put a name on that gift tag, and it's your name. For God so loved the world, put your name there, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In John, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, we find John reciting to us that Jesus didn't just die for the sins of us, He died for the sins of the whole world. God's gift is to every person, whoever lives, to every individual, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what your situation of life is, whether you're rich or poor or middle class or whoever you are, whether you're intelligent or not so intelligent, no matter how good or how bad you may be. You know, the kids sing that little song, you know, whether you're naughty or nice. Well, God isn't controlled by whether we're naughty or nice, because we know we're all naughty. Yeah. And so the gift was given to us, no matter how bad you might be. Listen, God loves the moral person. Think about this, and don't raise your hand, but how many of us know moral people? I mean, we would say, well, they're good people. They don't do this and they don't do that. You know, they're not drugging and drinking and you know, just the porno people and all. They're not any of that. They're good people. God loves good people. But He also loves the immoral. The one who's doing all that stuff. And then God loves the backslider, the one who's been saved and has backslid on Him and doing things he should. Listen, God loves every individual in this world, and He loves us all equally. Sometimes we like to think we're God's favorite. And in a way we are, but we're all God's favorite. God loves all of us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And then I want you to notice this, the potential of this gift. That's found in John 3. Look at verse 17. 17 and 18. Now, in 16 it says that God gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John goes on He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Listen, that Christmas miracle, Jesus didn't come to point his finger and condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, there's great potential in this gift. God's gift has power. This gift of Jesus Christ to be our Savior, if we will accept that gift and accept Christ as our Savior, there is great dunamis, the Bible says, great power in that gift as we accept it. You see, His gift can change our life. You talk to anyone in here who's accepted Christ and you'll hear a testimony of my life has changed. Huh? By the way, if you claim that you know Jesus as your Savior, your life hasn't changed, there's something wrong. God declares when you get saved, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I'm not the same old person I used to be. I'm not how I ought to be, but I sure am not what I used to be. Has great power. Changes our life, and thank God for the change He can make. And then not only that, He changes our eternal destiny. See, a person without Christ has an eternal destiny of hell. You know, we get in trouble nowadays for preaching that truth, but it's true. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not see heaven. Wow, you're narrow, you're bigger than you're... No, I'm a Bible believer. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, ye must be born again. That's Jesus. Now, if you want to deny that and argue with him and badmouth those who take that stand, have at it. But he's true and every man's a liar. And there's a lot of people who today think they're going to heaven who are going to end up in hell. Because they refuse the message of God. They refuse the gift that God has given to them. They've tried to get into his kingdom in some other way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen. This gift that God has given to us has great potential. It will change your life. Maybe I should say He will change your life because it's in Jesus Christ. And then He will change your eternal destiny. When a person comes to Christ, at that instant, their destiny changes from hell to heaven. Listen, it is an absolute impossibility for a saved person ever to go to hell. We've been delivered from that. We now have eternal life. And if you understand eternal, that's forever and ever and ever. And that speaks of being with God forever and ever in heaven. That's the gift. And that gift will also change hearts. That gift of God, Jesus Christ, can change your heart. And we need changed hearts. You know what Jeremiah said about the heart? It's desperately wicked. Huh? Without Christ, that's what our heart is. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? But see, God can change our heart. And give us a heart of love and compassion and care. I don't know about you, but as gifts, I really like gifts that are useful. Gifts that can make a difference. I always enjoyed she'd buy me tools and stuff. I like that. Years ago, some of you will remember this. Years ago, somebody got the bright idea to market pet rocks. How many of you remember that? Boy, you guys would be millionaires, all them rocks you got. Really, if you don't remember that, maybe you weren't around that, but in the stores, when you went to malls and everything, here would be these big stands, pet rocks, and you had to name your pet rock. And people were buying them for Christmas gifts. I got got so-and-so a pet rock. Wow. I got a whole yard full. And what are you supposed to do with it? You put it, that's my pet rock. But I like things that are useful. And boy, there's no more useful gift, so to speak, than the gift of salvation. I mean, it will make a difference. You know, God, when we come to Him, through this gift of Jesus Christ, can forgive us our sins. I said we're all sinners, and most of you agree. You understand. The Bible says, for all who sin come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, if we sat down and was honest with ourselves, we can make a list of the sins we've committed. We know what they are. And you know, every one of those can be forgiven, but only through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, Colossians 1 and verse 14, it tells us how it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all our sin. You can't be cleansed any other way. Well, my church told me if I went to confession, you know, I could say, no, don't work that way. Well, you know, I believe if you do this, I don't care what you believe. God says there's one way of forgiveness of sin, cleansing of sin, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, God cleanses you from your sin. What can wash away my sins, we like to sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then God can give us a new home in heaven. Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, if he goes, he's going to come back and he's going to receive us unto himself. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come for you and receive you. Listen, we have a home in heaven if we're saved. We have a mansion waiting for us. You say, what's it going to look like? I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, I can conjure up some real great thoughts about it. I can't establish clearly from Scripture how many floors it's going to be and how many square feet and all that kind of thing. But listen, when Jesus says it's a mansion, I figure it must be a pretty good mansion. Uh-huh. And He's preparing it. He gives us that when we get saved. We get the title. By the way, no mortgage company on that mansion. We get the title deed. It's ours. Thank the Lord. And this gift can give us, as I said, eternal life. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. It's in Him. 1 John 5. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Go over there, 1 John 5. Verses 11 through 13. In 11, John writes, and this is the record. This, what we have here is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And then notice what John says. And this life is in His Son, that's Jesus. He that hath the Son, notice there's a capital S there, that's Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know, I've underlined that word in my Bible, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, this gift can give you the assurance that when you step out of this life and you go through that doorway of death that we're all going to go through. It's appointed of all men once to die. We all have an appointment sooner or later. But this gift of God, Jesus Christ, if we'll receive Him, can give us that assurance when I make that journey. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. We will know that we step out of this life into the very presence of our Savior to be with Him forever and ever and ever. When we receive the gift, we have that assurance. And boy, there's just something about having that assurance that, yeah, we all know we're going to die, but we don't have to ever worry or be concerned about what's going to happen when I die. You're not going to go in a hole in the ground and sleep there for a couple of billion years or what. No, and you're not going to go into a hole in the ground that's the end of everything. No, no, no. You're going to live somewhere forever. If you're not saved, you're not going to see heaven. You're going to be in hell. If you're saved, you're going to have eternal life with Him forever and ever and ever. And that's because of the gift God gave us. But see, that gift, we're emphasizing the greatest gift ever given has to be received and received freely. Now, probably everybody here has hopes that under that Christmas tree there might be a little something for you. And let's imagine that there will be something for you. A gift with your name on it. Now, somebody will have provided that and planned that and all that and went through everything and gave it and paid for it. And now it's there and technically it's your gift. But you don't have it. It's your gift. It's got your name on it. It's been provided for you. But you don't have it. And you will never have whatever that gift is until you make the decision, I'm going to receive it. And you take it and receive the gift. Now you have it. God gave the greatest gift to this world that's ever been given. The sad thing is there are so many in this world and the majority of people in this world who will never have the gift that God has made available to them because they'll never receive it. The name of every person in the world can be written in John 3:16. God gave His only begotten Son that every individual, put your name in there, died, came, and so that they could have eternal life. God gave Him for that reason. And now here's the gift of salvation. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God says, here's salvation. But the majority of people in the world will never have it. It's theirs. Been provided, it's available, and yet they'll die and go to hell because they would not simply accept the gift of God. Some are trying to earn it. Some want the gift of eternal life and to be in heaven, but they're not willing to accept it as a gift. They're trying to earn it. You can't earn a gift. If you earn a gift, it's not a gift anymore. Listen, there's not enough good we can do to earn our way to heaven. We can't be religious enough to deserve heaven to earn it. That's why God made it a gift. You don't have to do anything. It's all done. Just take it. The question to us this morning is, have you received the gift? God provided the gift, the greatest gift that's ever been given. You can't give any more than God has given. And He made it available to all of us, but have you personally had a time in your life where you said, I want to receive that gift that God has offered to me? You might say, well, you know, I've been trying to get to heaven, but I've been trying to be good or go to church or be religious or whatever you might say. You say, I realize today the only way I can have eternal life is by receiving God's gift. Jesus Christ. Will you do that today? Christian friend of mine, you say, well, I'm already saved. Well, thank God you are. But take this gift that God has given to every individual and share it. And spread the word. And let people know God has given the greatest gift that was ever given to you, to every individual. And share with people that they too can have the joy of salvation. It's available to them. If they'll simply receive it. Will you bow your heads for just a minute? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask this question. How many folks in this room could testify in all honesty now before the Lord, I have received the gift of salvation. I remember When I received that gift, I acknowledged I was a sinner and I knew I needed Christ, and I just accepted what God had done for me and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because I've been born again. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. You have received the greatest gift ever given. I wonder if there's some in here this morning who say, "Preacher, I've never done that. I don't ever remember opening my heart to Jesus. I don't ever remember just receiving that gift of Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm a bad person. I think I'm a pretty good person. But preacher, you said you can't go to heaven unless you know Jesus as your personal Savior. And I want to do that today. I want to have eternal life. I want to receive the gift God has given to me by being saved. Here's my hand. Would you slip it up and I'll not call your name or embarrass you. I want to pray for you. That's me, preacher. I've never really received the gift. You might say, "Hey, I've known all about the gift, but I've never really received it for myself. And I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. But I want to make sure today. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. Let's stand together. Song number 294. Listen, we're going to have our invitation hymn. Unsaved friend of mine, you need Christ. As soon as we start to sing, you come and I'll meet you right here and put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you over here to a quiet place and open the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life. You can be saved. You can accept the gift that God has given to you. Saved friend of mine, maybe you've not been diligent about sharing this gift. Hey, this gift isn't just for you. It's for the whole world. And God wants us to let the world know He's made a way. Make that commitment. I'm going to share Him and share the gift with those who don't know. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for this wonderful gift, the greatest gift that was ever given. The gift You've given to us, salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray for that one or ones that are here who have never received the gift, that today would be their day of salvation. And I pray for believers that we would see and be burdened about this need to share this greatest gift. It's available to every man, woman, and child in the world. And we need to let them know. Help us this morning in this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today? God speak in your heart as we sing. Will you slip out and come?